soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Today, let's talk about the healing consciousness. The healing Christ consciousness, or Christ, the healing consciousness. Many of us still are showing forth problems of one form or another. And really, this shouldn't be. Some of us have been studying these principles for years and years. And by now, we should understand the healing principles enough to where we are able to practice them. And we should have by now practiced them enough to where we would have developed the spiritual healing consciousness. And we should have developed it and lived in it enough to where we should be an avenue of awareness that others can reach out to our consciousness and receive healing. But if we haven't, and if we are really wanting to embrace the entire infinite way, not just the spiritual living part of the infinite way, but the spiritual healing as well, then we must take another look at these principles, and maybe we can see what we have missed or haven't bothered to practice. And if we are motivated, we can begin to practice that now. Spiritual healing, we already know, is not holding on to the right thought or practicing affirmations and denials. That's a mental kind of healing, and we are told that although sometimes successful, it's not a permanent kind of healing, and often the problem returns or a different problem. In the infinite way, we do not practice mental healing. We practice spiritual healing, and this is something quite different. I know it seems the same because we also start out with thoughts about truth. But we recognize that these thoughts about truth are not the healing agency. They do not heal. We use a rehearsal of truth and thoughts of truth only to lift ourselves above thoughts. We use thoughts of truth only to reach that place of rest, of inner rest, where the thoughts about truth come to an end. And in that split second, where thoughts cease, the mind becomes an avenue of awareness. It's no longer thinking thoughts about truth. It is a still avenue of awareness, which into which enters the presence of God. And we become aware of it. When that has happened, it appears as healing. And so it's that contact, it's that awareness of the actual presence that results in healing or answered prayer, not the thoughts that came before it. And so if we have a lot of thoughts about scripture or statements of truth, but we never quite reach that moment of awareness, we will not have healing. And so you need to check yourself and be honest with yourself. Have you just remained in the thought part? One of the greatest statements I ever read in the writings was a human being cannot pray. The human mind cannot pray. The mind becomes aware of prayer. And so that's quite different. Our many thoughts on truth are not prayer. And if you haven't realized that yet, it's time to realize that. All these hundreds and thousands of words about truth are not prayer. They are simply the way that we focus the mind in order to become still. And we are told repeatedly that we will reach the place where we run out of thoughts about that truth. And then in that moment of silence, an awareness comes. And that is prayer, when that something happens within. It has been called a click. I just had it a moment ago. I don't see it as a click. I feel it as a flooding of the presence. And it results in a change in consciousness. It results in answered prayer and appears out here as improved form. So that is what prayer is. But now, how do we experience that? Years ago, when I used to go up to Lake Michigan and pull my 19-foot boat up there, I would take the boat out and travel across the lake. And Lake Michigan is huge. It's almost as, it looks from the eye looking as if it's as large as the ocean, because you cannot see the horizon in some parts. It seems to go on forever. But I can remember one morning in particular, going out and looking at the lake, and most of the times there's big barges and steamships and whatnot going through that lake, so there's almost always choppy waves or waves of some sort, and often there's a summer storm that kicks up and that blows around white caps and the waves come and hit up against the island where we were staying. But this one morning I got up and I looked, and it was like glass. So still was that lake. There was not a ripple anywhere. It was like looking across glass. It was as if you could put on a pair of roller skates and just slide all over that glass. But of course it was water. But it was that still. That is how still you must become within, in order for the mind to perform its proper function as an avenue of awareness. We don't start out there. Let us suppose that you have a problem confronting you in the, well, appearing as a bad relationship, or perhaps no relationships. Maybe you are looking for a companionship, which is really looking for a companion. And according to all outward appearances, you don't have one. You're alone. You're lonely. Well, you know right well that if you gather together your best human understanding and put down on paper the best traits you would like this person to have, and then go looking for them, that which you end up with will be quite different than that which you had in mind. So, taking human steps is not the right answer. Well, what do we do if we're going to handle this with the healing consciousness? The first thing we do is we recognize that this is an appearance of lack, an appearance of aloneness, and we cannot handle a problem on the level of the problem. And so recognizing it to be an appearance, we must set it outside our temple. What can you do about a nothing? And the answer is nothing. So set it down. Let it go. Just for this moment. Come within. And now we're here in our inner temple. And we are to start our meditation with the word God. This is how we have been instructed. If we want the results, we must follow the directions. And so God. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresence. The only presence. If I travel to the top of a high mountain, I have felt God's presence there. When I have gone out on a cruise into the middle of the ocean, I have felt God's presence there. Out in the middle of the desert, there too I have felt God's presence. In the middle of the biggest metropolis I have ever been to, I have felt God's presence. In a church, I have felt God's presence. In a temple, I have felt God's presence. In a business meeting, I have felt God's presence. God is omnipresence. The mind sees God as somewhere else. The mind thinks it needs to love all these many people inside of God. Millions of people inside of God. But that is incorrect. There is one presence. with many faces. I am not supposed to love the many and the one. I am to love the one and the many. Where can I be and find myself outside of that presence? I say I am alone, but is that true? When this principle revealed itself to me, I thought I was alone. No companion anywhere. Yet I knew that God and God's presence was right here with me. And the next day I went outside on my way to work, and there at my feet was a cat. I did not know that there was a cat near the place I was living, but there it was greeting me. That night when I came home, there was the cat again. And the next day was a weekend, and I stepped out my door and I noticed the flowers and the butterflies and the sun, and I felt the wind, and I greeted the cat again. God's presence was appearing as many life forms, but it was the same presence, and I knew it. Soon I discovered that presence inside of everyone and everything, because when I went to the coffee shop and I asked for a cup of coffee, the waitress brought me a cup of coffee and a glass of water. And the coffee was a little bit too hot to drink, so I took my spoon and I scooped out some ice chips out of the water and put them in my cup to cool it down so that I could begin to drink it. Somewhere across this busy restaurant, and it was rather large, that waitress had been watching, because when next she came to my table to fill my coffee, she had a glass full of ice chips. And I was amazed and surprised, and I said, "Thank you." And I realized that that loving presence of God was moving through her. Pretty soon I began to see it everywhere, in everyone. This is also known as practicing the presence. But it became a conscious awareness, which first came to me in meditation, and then came to me in my daily living. And so the inner realization of God's omnipresence became a living reality in my life, and soon that presence greeted me everywhere, on the street, in the grocery store, on the bus. Everywhere I found myself, I felt that presence in people. After a while, one individual and I met, and I felt that presence in her. And as it turned out, we were walking the same direction, the same path. And we've been together ever since. But it all started with the realization, the inner realization, that there's only one presence, and it is omnipresence. And the only relationship I ever need to have is the inner awareness of that omnipresence. And then I am never alone again, ever, and ever. On a deserted island, thy presence will show up. That loving friend is always there. But this must be an inner realization, and then, in that moment of awareness, where you have the actual awareness of that inner presence, it then becomes your living experience. And that is the way that we, that is the healing consciousness that dissolves the appearance of aloneness. Now, suppose your problem is financial. You are, well, you need to have $500 by the end of the week, and you only have $143. And a few cents. You've checked your bank account. What are you going to do about it? You cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem. Well, sure, you can go down to speak with your boss privately and ask for a few more hours. You can take on a second job and wear yourself out mentally and physically. But, is this a real solution? Does this have anything to do with the healing consciousness? No. In the first example, where you had an awareness of omnipresence, you learned that your very own consciousness was the presence appearing out here. In this next example, where you are trying to demonstrate supply, you must have the inner awareness that your consciousness is your supply. And so you must begin by setting the problem outside. This is a misperception somehow of the truth of being. It is impossible for God to lack, so I'm not seeing this correctly. So you leave it outside your temple, and you turn within. And you begin your meditation with the word God. God is the source of my supply. What does that mean to me? It means my job is not my supply. My supply is my job. My supply does not come from my job, but my supply is within. And it appears outwardly as a job, as an opportunity, as an income and an outflow. My supply comes from within. I am told I need to open out a way for the imprisoned splendor to escape. I do not know what that means. How do I do that? God itself is my supply. God is infinite and omnipresent. There is nowhere I can go on this earth and be without my supply because I carry it with me. Supply is infinite, invisible, spiritual substance, consciousness itself, appearing. But now I must open out a way for that to happen. And we learn that we are to pour out. Furthermore, we learn that our supply is not that which comes to us, but that which flows out of us. Why do you think the Master said to his disciples, "I have meat to eat that you know not of," and then he demonstrated it by feeding the 5,000? Because he knew that his supply was that which pours out, that which he shared and gave and poured out is the evidence of his supply, not anything coming to him. To him that hath, it shall be given. To him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Which means that if you believe that you have nothing, you are lacking, then even the rest of what you have will be taken from you. Because as you believe, so it is unto you. But if you know you have this invisible spiritual substance, then you must make it your business to find out how to release it to flow out. And so you might come within and say to yourself, "I don't care what the picture is. Within is the infinite supply of my Father. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that the Father has is mine." But I must be so still, like that water that looked like glass, that my mind stops worrying, stops thinking, stops trying to draw to itself something out here. That the mind becomes so still that the Spirit itself will move across the water, across the face of the deep, and that which it has will manifest as every good and perfect gift. And so I come within here, and I rest back. Father, fulfill thyself. Pour out a blessing. Give. Love. Pray, share, if you have $10 that you don't need at the moment, pour it out. Do something for someone and don't get caught. Do something for someone without a price tag. You can give your time, your prayer, your money, your clothes, your companionship, as we said earlier. In one way or another, you can begin to pour. And when this happened to me, I wanted to demonstrate this so very badly that every week when I got paid, now don't tell anybody I did this because it's a secret, okay? Every week when I got paid, I went to the phone book. I lived in a large city. I put my finger on the phone book and pulled it down with my eyes closed and stopped. And when I opened my eyes, there was a name and an address. And I took out an envelope, and I took a $10 bill, it might have been a 20, I don't know, this was like 15 or 20 years ago. And I stuck it in the envelope with a little tiny piece of paper that said, "Because I love you." That's all it said. and I stuck it in the envelope, and I addressed it, and stuck it in the mailbox and mailed it off with a stamp on it, with no return address. And that was the way that I determined I was going to prove this principle. I knew that it was important that I give to someone, pour out to someone that could have no possible way of benefiting me. I knew that it was important to pour out a blessing that could not be traced to me, so that my ego could not be involved. Ah, look what I did. Aren't I great? I knew that it was important to keep it secret. And so that's what came to me to do, and I did it. And I did it for a while. And I have no idea how those people reacted when they opened an envelope and found some cash in there that said, "Because I love you." It would be interesting someday to know, as I'm sure I will, what the results of that were. But I can tell you what happened in my life. And that is that the flow began to increase and increase and increase and increase and increase to the point where my annual salary used to be about $10,000 a year. It became $150,000 a year. Now, granted, that's still not the demonstration of infinite supply, but it is on the way, a realization that which I pour out is returned. The bread I cast on the waters comes back. And it doesn't come back through the person that I give it to. It comes back in many other different directions. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over. In this way, I found out that there was no end to the supply. Because whereas it used to be $20, $40 a month, at times it has been $1,000 a month that has flowed through me and gone out in different directions. So, and I'm sure it can even increase from there. I'm not as generous as I should be. But the point is that I understand the principle, because the conscious awareness of omnipresence, the awareness of it, my friends, not the intellectual thought about it or reading about it or hearing about it, but the conscious living awareness of omnipresence, it means I feel that presence everywhere, consciously, becomes the people, the plants, the animals, and the companionship that I am surrounded with becomes that presence. The conscious awareness of infinite, invisible, spiritual substance within, flowing out, becomes your living experience of abundance everywhere. Always right on time, always with 12 baskets full left over. Bringing you joys untold from directions never dreamed of. Yet you yourself open the floodgates. Now, what about, your healing consciousness reveals to you that there is no problem of lack. What you were looking for, you were looking with. And what about a problem of body, a problem of life? How about if you have a sickness of some sort, an illness, a disease, that just won't seem to relent. Perhaps you've been to the doctors and they don't know what to do. The best they can do is maintain it so your pain is at a minimum, which is often their best work. What are you to do about that? Well, we cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem. So the very first thing that we have to do is to leave it outside our temple. No matter how scary it looks, no matter what the prognosis or the diagnosis, we need to leave it outside our temple if we are going to reach this state of awareness. Because, as we have already said, you must be still enough that the mind stops working on this and becomes quiet enough to perform its proper function as an avenue of awareness. So we leave it outside. We don't take it with us mentally. And we are to begin our meditation with the word God. I asked God the other day. I turned within for only a moment, and I said, "What is this body with when I don't see it through a glass darkly? What is this body without the glass darkly?" And quick as a whip came two words: I am. I am. And I realized again that I had been seeing this body as a personal body, as my body, just as I saw companionship as a personal person, just as I saw a supply as my personal supply. And I came to see that all companionship is impersonal. God, omnipresence, and all supply is impersonal, infinite God supply pouring out. Now I must find a way to see there's no personal body either. What is the body without the belief in a person? I am. And I go within, and sure enough, that's right, I am the life. Here I was thinking I had a personal life. I am the life. I, Christ, am the life. I am the way, and I am the truth about this. Now, God, then, is the only life, the only presence, supplying me with everything I could ever need, and God is the only body. God is the substance of my body. But I have been seeing a personal substance, a personal self, a personal body. I was mistaken. That was a misinterpretation, which I now set aside. God, what is your body? Reveal your presence. Reveal your substance formed. God is the substance of all form, and God is the substance of the body. God is the presence of the body. God is the life of the body. Not this material image I've been looking at, but the spiritual body right here. And what is God? God is infinite and omnipresent. So God's life must be infinite and omnipresent. And God's body must be infinite and omnipresent. God is the substance of all form, then God's body must be all form. and therefore that body is perfect in the image and likeness of God. Yet I know that my mind and my mental images cannot reveal this to me, because the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I must have an awareness of this infinite spiritual body, the body that God has formed. My body must be infinite, invisible, spiritual body, never born and never dying. And now I am going to be still. As still as that water like glass, waiting for the breeze to come, waiting for the Heavenly Father to reveal its spiritual body, ever so still. It is I. Be not afraid. Without your mental image, I am the body. I am the only body. My word is the only flesh. My word becomes flesh in this moment of stillness. And in this inner stillness, I become aware of a movement. The Spirit of God is upon me, and through me, and as me. And I simply feel it. And in a way I know not of, it appears as form. There is an improvement in this form, or the problem completely dissolves. When God speaks, the earth melts. When God speaks, the mental image of a body melts, and in its place we become aware of the Word made flesh, or appearing as form. And God speaks the Word of God in that inner stillness, when the mind has become an avenue of awareness. This is the healing consciousness. Whether confronted with a picture of lack, whether confronted with a picture of aloneness, whether confronted with a picture of disease, this is how we approach the healing work. We begin by rehearsing the truth we know until we reach that place of stillness. And each and every meditation must reach that quietness in which the mind becomes an avenue of awareness. And we must reach that point where we have an actual awareness of the presence of God, of the omnipresence of God, of the invisible spiritual substance, of the invisible spiritual life. In this way, we find out that everything we have always thought we carry within us as our very own consciousness, and within our very own consciousness. In this way, we come to see that our consciousness and the Father are one, and that the only place we ever need to turn is to our very own consciousness. We have Aladdin's lamp. We have the Philosopher's Stone. But instead of rubbing it and making wishes, we turn within and contemplate truth, however many minutes that takes, until we reach the point of quiet and stillness. And there in the stillness, the Spirit moves over the face of the deep, and the waters are stirred, and we have an awareness of that Spirit, our very own consciousness. And then it appears as our need fulfilled. Do we see that? Do we understand this now? And with continued practice with every problem that confronts us, and then later with problems that people bring to us, through the weeks and months of practice, we develop the conscious awareness of omnipresence. We develop the conscious awareness of invisible spiritual supply, infinite supply. We develop the conscious awareness of infinite spiritual eternal life, immortal life, never born and never dying. We develop that until we are that, and it is us. In other words, we get to the point of development where we are, our consciousness is omnipresence, infinite supply, and eternal life. And more and more and more we become so one with our own consciousness that we are consciousness itself living out. The human is living less and less, and consciousness is living more and more. I live, yet not I. Consciousness is living my life. This is the healing consciousness. It will not come just by reading about it. It will not come just by talking about it or hearing talks about it. It will come in the practice. It will come in doing exactly what we have outlined, turning within again and again, until we have the actual awareness. And having the awareness again and again, until we have the consciousness, so that when things hit up against that consciousness, they melt. Because that consciousness is the Word of God uttering itself continuously. We really do get to the place where we are no longer thinking thoughts of truth. Truth begins to impart itself from within out. And then we are Christ itself, Christ consciousness flowing out. This can take weeks, months, even years, but it will not happen at all if we go running in 17 different directions. We can't ride 17 horses in the same race. If we would find this way of spiritual healing, we must ride this horse and only this horse and put everything else away for a season. It does not have to stay away, just for a season until we have developed our consciousness. I myself read and study many other works. but I have spent the weeks and months and years first to develop this consciousness. So, this is the healing consciousness. It is yours, it is mine, it is everyone's who takes the time to turn within and find it. The kingdom of heaven, the Christ consciousness, the healing consciousness is within you. If you would find it, you must turn ye and live. Turn within and make the discovery that that which you have looked for, you have always been. That which you have been looking for, you have been looking with. That which you have sought, you already are. But you must come into the awareness of it consciously. A thought is not enough. It must be awareness. The key word is awareness. Your awareness of your own Christ consciousness makes you the one who can say, I live, yet not I, but Christ, the healing consciousness, liveth as me. I hope this helps and there are no more doubts about where to find your very own Christ consciousness, your very own healing consciousness within.